Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. We continue in our reading and hearing of God's Word through Matthew. We come tonight to a small passage of two desperate men, and we learn much in this passage about prayer. We also learn, beloved, in this passage about the great danger of loving decorum more than you love mercy. Now, decorum is a word maybe you don't use too often. Decorum means that you want to fit in with the standards of others around you. If all the ornaments on the tree are red, you don't want to be a green one. You want to be a decoration that looks just like everyone else. And the reason some people become hostages to decorum, slaves to decorum, where they refuse to break out of decorum, is because they want the respect of men more than they want the reconciliation of God. Nothing wrong with decorum in and of itself. But in the heart of a sinner, decorum can be a cause of doom. Our lust for decorum can keep us hard and proud and away from a Savior who only saves sinners. Let us hear the word of the Lord after we pray. Bow your heads with me and let us talk to the Lord. Our gracious God and Father, we approach again your high and holy throne of grace. Lord, we thank you that it is the place we belong. We thank you that we are received there, recognized there. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you that we have nothing to fear as we draw near to you there. Oh, gracious Lord, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we ask for your help now. We pray that you would help us believe and understand your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us much help in being persuaded and convinced and comforted by your word. We pray, Lord, that it would please you to overcome by your grace and your power all of our dullness and indifference towards your word. Father, we pray that you would do this even as we hear it, and even in the hours and days after we have heard it. We pray that we would not be able to shake it. We pray that we would not be able to forget it. We pray that it would be a lamp that we can't put out. We pray that it would be an alarm that doesn't end. We pray that we would be indeed, Lord, shepherded by it, and that it would never part from us. Oh, Lord, we pray that your word would dwell richly in us and not merely glance off of us or pass over us like wind passing over a rock. Oh, Lord, may it go into us. May it indeed be like an insemination, a seed being planted that grows and takes over. Oh, Lord, we pray that the rule of Christ would succeed in us by this word. We ask in his name. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. In our text tonight, the Holy Spirit is showing us that it is a happy and a blessed thing to be nothing more than a beggar before God. Two blind beggars who have nothing to bring to the Lord Jesus, but their pleading, but their need, those beggars move the Lord. The Lord of all creation, the Lord of all power, they move the Lord to act on their behalf. And the Lord acts on behalf of these beggars in great mercy, healing their bodies and winning their souls. For the text says in verse 34, immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. They were one. So here we have a lesson on prayer. But we also have a lesson on the merciful Savior in whose name we pray. But we also have a lesson on Christ's kingdom, which he calls us to seek above all other things. And we will take all these lessons together as we unpack the first, the lesson on prayer. Simply stated, the lesson is this: the Lord is not bothered by our noisy prayers when we are begging for mercy. Now, don't forget that that's the lesson, because you're going to need that later. The Lord is not bothered by our noisy prayers when we are begging for mercy. On the contrary, these are the very terms upon which men must transact business with God. We are beggars. We need mercy. He is full of mercy, eager to refresh, eager to bless beggars. So look again at these blind beggars praying. There they are, sitting by the roadside. They are destitute. They have nothing to do. They have nothing to offer. Nobody wants to bother with them. They have no skills or wealth to contribute to the Lord's ministry. They are beggars. Everything they are costs something from others. Are they clothed? That costs somebody. Is their belly full? That has cost somebody. They can do nothing. Everything they have has come at someone else's expense. In verse 30, it says, Jesus and his entourage, the crowd, are passing down the road where the two blind beggars are seated. Luke, in his account of the very same event, tells us one of the blind men asked the crowd, "What's going on? I hear a bunch of noise. What is this?" And some in that crowd inform the blind man who asked, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Hearing that, the blind beggars immediately, with no time to lose, begin making this loud appeal directly to our Lord Jesus. "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David!" I don't think I did it justice. Matthew tells us they cried out these begging words. The Greek word Matthew uses is kradzo. It literally means to croak like a raven. That's its literal meaning. It does have a figurative meaning. To scream. The Greek dictionary says it could be translated to shriek. It is a tumultuous cry, another dictionary says. The cry you might hear while walking along a beach when someone far out in the water is struggling to stay afloat. "Lord, have mercy on me!" Look at the tenacity. Look at the persistence of these shrieking beggars lacking decorum. Verse 31 says, some in the crowd hear the beggars crying out, and they are more than a little bothered. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Now, this is peculiar. Some in the crowd wish to silence these two noisy blind beggars. So they scold them. They urge them to be quiet. Why? Well, this is where we need to remember some other teaching that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have put together in their four records of our life, of our Savior's public ministry. Our Lord Jesus once taught us about a persistent and noisy widow. He told us about her to give us another lesson on prayer. And this persistent and noisy widow kept badgering an unjust judge in order to get justice. And the lesson there from our Lord was that God, who is always just, is eager to hear and answer the persistent prayers of his people. And Jesus taught us another lesson on prayer about two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a proud Pharisee who listed in his prayer all the contributions that he was making to God's kingdom. It was like an inventory of his own righteousness. The other man who went up to the temple to pray, a tax collector, he could only hide his face and beat his breast and cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The lesson in that was that God hears sinners when they pray for the mercy of forgiveness. And Jesus taught us about people bringing their infant children to him so that he might touch them. In that passage, it says the disciples rebuked those parents for bringing those children. Matthew 19:13. But our Lord overruled the disciples. Our Lord rebuked the disciples and called those children to him. And the lesson there was that God welcomes those who can make no contribution to Christ's kingdom. Those who know they are of no value are most ripe for the grace of Jesus Christ. Those who think they are important and necessary do not understand his kingdom very well at all. Now, hearing just those three earlier lessons from our Lord Jesus on prayer put us in a much better place to see why, again, the Lord is bringing this incident to the eyes and ears of his church. We are better prepared to see why the people in verse 31 are trying to silence these blind beggars. Matthew is showing us another incident where people are getting Jesus Christ wrong, and not people that are far from Jesus, but people quite close to him. Those who rebuke the blind beggars have no patience for sinners who are flailing about in their weak desperation. Those who are rebuking the blind beggars don't want weak whiners like these beggars to get that close to Jesus Christ. They are interested in people who can demonstrate competence and capacity, not blind, indigent beggars. They are just like the disciples who were chasing away the parents with little children. They are just like the unjust judge who was chasing away a widow. They are just like the proud Pharisee who mocked and looked down on the tax collector. The crowd is just like those others. So they all presume Jesus has no interest in these noisy, blind beggars. They presume Jesus does not wish to be bothered or associated with people weak and unproductive. And they presume this not because Jesus told them these things. The crowd presumes this not because there was some early morning team meeting where Jesus said, "Okay, everybody, we're going through Jericho today. Keep those begging for mercy out of my sight. I can't stand those people." The crowd presumes this about Jesus, not because he ever said anything like that. They presume this because this is how people naturally think about God and about man. In our sinful nature, we are repelled by weakness. We are not attracted to weakness. Not in others, certainly not in ourselves. But beloved, what if it was you who had a desperate need that you could not cure, and you heard there was a merciful Redeemer, a merciful Messiah, a merciful Savior, a kind, living, almighty God who had a special interest in those who knew their desperate condition and knew his great mercy and power? What if you heard that he could help you and that he could not only cure your need, but he was willing to cure your need and was even willing to take you into his company and keep you forever? Let me ask the question another way. What if you learned your heart is so cold toward other Christians, you began to fear your heart was filled with the cancer of contempt and scorn and disdain and condescension? What if you learned that your heart was so cold that you even began to wonder if you had ever experienced the love of God? What if you had this flashing discovery and it set a desperateness in your heart that you started thinking about, where can I go for the cure? Wouldn't you, in your desperation, cry out to Jesus Christ like a beggar? What if you learned your ambition for heavenly and holy things was so weak you began to fear that you loved the world and loved the things of the world, and that you feared that the love of the Father was not in you? Wouldn't you, in your desperation, cry out to Jesus Christ like a beggar? Or what if you learned that you were a chronic gossip or a chronic pervert or a chronic liar or a chronic abuser or a chronic glutton or a chronic narcissist or a chronic fool or a chronic bum or a chronic hater? What if in a flashing moment of discovery you learned that there was something so deeply diseased in you that you couldn't free yourself from a sin that will carry you to hell forever? What if you learned that demons were more likely your companions than angels and perfected men in heaven? Wouldn't you in your desperation cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ like a beggar? But what if you were any one of those? What if you were any one of those, or more than one of those that I just listed, but you didn't want to be that needy before the Lord Jesus Christ? What if you didn't want to name your desperate need and beg him for help? What would that mean? It would mean that pretending to be healthy and well and righteous is more important to you than being healed. It would mean you are ashamed of needing the power and the mercy of Jesus Christ, but you are not ashamed of the diseases of sin that make you blind and sick and dead. You will soon become a person who doesn't want to hear other people talk about their own need for Jesus Christ. But the blind beggars in our text tonight, they're not going to be intimidated by all these strong and healthy people. They will not be silenced. They know our Lord Jesus Christ better than those who are rebuking them. Verse 31 says, after the crowd told them to be silent, they cried out all the more. They were not intimidated. Why? Because their need for mercy is greater than their need for other people's respect. That's why. Beloved, I have always had the privilege as a pastor of meeting men and women who have finally been delivered from the bondage of needing other people's respect more than they needed the mercy of Jesus Christ. And they have come and said, "Pastor, please pray with me. I am in a desperate condition." And their eyes are fine. Their blood count is fine. Their liver is fine. Their heart is covered in darkness. And they are intractably addicted to sin. "Pastor, would you please pray for me? I can't keep this a secret anymore." And they cast off all decorum. And they ask for somebody to help them. I, of course, teach them to pray and pray with them. It is very likely that any one of us in this room is someone who loves the respect of men more than we love the mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we never let anyone think that we are desperately in need of Jesus Christ's healing power. We never let anyone think that there is a sin in our life that is as much a disease as the blindness in these men's bodies. A sin that is keeping us from honoring God and loving our neighbor, perhaps the very neighbors that live in our house. And so we never let anybody hear that we are that desperate or that diseased because we love decorum. So how then should we pray? The two blind beggars teach us. We should disregard all the voices of fallen men who tell us not to beg before God for his mercy. They carry in their mouths, unwittingly even, the teaching of the devil. Do not break decorum. Do not beg for mercy. How then should we pray? We should disregard all the voices who tell you that you can do it yourself. You can heal yourself, fix yourself. All those voices are emissaries of the devil to keep you from Christ. How then should we pray? Disregard all the voices who tell you that you have it within yourself to live and to do and to be. Don't. But be a weak and desperate beggar before God. When you truly come to know yourself, this is who you truly are before God. He is not ashamed to call you his children. He is most pleased to welcome those who are desperate in their battle with sin. How does the church pray then? Do they pray really like these two beggars? Are these two men really just an outlier? Are they a one-off? Are they an anomaly? How does the true church of Jesus Christ, really pray? "Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help." Psalm 28:2. "To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy." Psalm 30, verse 8. "I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help." Psalm 31, 22. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy." Psalm 55, 1. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy." Psalm 116, 1. "O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." Psalm 103, 2. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. Psalm 142:1. Beloved, this is the sound of God's people. This is what they sound like. Is this what you sound like? Beloved, this is the history of God's people. No wonder our Lord Jesus so easily recognizes this man as one of his own. He's been hearing from heaven all these many years since he first called his church these same kind of desperate pleas. And when he hears one on the street, he recognizes one of his own. What if you don't sound like this in your prayers? You're fooling yourself, that's what. You're deceived. You think you are better and healthier than you really are. It's simple, it's that simple. You're not well if you don't sound like this. If you sound like this, you are as healthy as a Christian can be. If you don't sound like this, you are very sick. Sick with a disease called pride. Sick with a disease called self-righteousness. Sick with a disease called godlessness. But I have such good news for you. If you are that sick, there is a Savior for someone that sick. There is a Savior for a proud, arrogant, godless person who doesn't ask for mercy. There is a Savior that can heal that heart. And that's where you begin then. You come to the Lord, even tonight, and you confess, Lord, I am sicker than I ever knew because I do not sound like your people in my prayers. Lord, I ask you to give me better parking at the mall. I ask you to give me a raise at work. I ask you to give me a quiet afternoon, but I never ask you for the graces to heal my sin-sick heart. Because I don't think I have one. Lord, how sick I really must be. And so you start right there. And you break out of all decorum. And you let him hear your cries and your pleas for mercy. He will not cast you away should you come as a beggar. But those are the only ones he receives. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again for letting us see the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how welcoming he is to needy, desperate beggars. We confess, O Lord, that we spend so much of our waking hours staying away from the truth about our desperate need. O Lord, we pray that you would testify to us by your law how truly proud and hard and dull our hearts are towards the things that you cherish, that you value, that you honor. Help us see again, Lord, the truth. Oh, Lord, persuade us even tonight that there is no depth of desperation that we could discover in this that would make us too gross, too sickly, too blind, too dead to receive the welcome and the mercy and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I do pray that you would indeed let us benefit from this small text tonight as you mean for your church to benefit. And that we would not be so deceived, and therefore not be so distant, and therefore not hide our desperate need, and then be healed. Oh, heal us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.